Okay, Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. We're in the middle of a sugya on Kubot Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. And we have just been dealing with the Machloket Rav and Shmuel about whether Kiddushin al Tanai, which are followed by marriage without a Tanai, erases the Tanai or the Tanai still holds, as Shmuel holds. And we're going to see something related to that. Amar v'ula bar Abba, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Elazar, Mekadesh b'milveh u'bal. We'll see in Masachet Kiddushin that Mekadesh b'milveh is not valid Kiddushin. It's machloket, but it's not valid Kiddushin. That means that a man lent a woman money, and then when she came to pay him back, he said, look, keep the money, I'm Mekadesh you with that money. That is no good. So he's Mekadesh b'milveh, which means invalid Kiddushin, and then had beer with her. Al-Tanai u'bal, or he was Mekadesh or al-Tanai, and we assume the condition was not fulfilled, and u'bal. That we already saw. Everybody agrees that the Kiddushin are valid, which seems to support Rav's position. He disagrees. If the missing piece was Pachom Mishavar Pruta, then indeed the Kiddushin are valid, and then they would need a get. Because nobody makes such a mistake. Everybody understands it's no good, and therefore the later bia was the real kedushin. But the other things like milveh and tanai, people make mistakes about, and therefore they think that the later bia is built upon that earlier kedushin, and the whole thing is nothing. Right, so he comes and substantiates Ula's position that mekadesh al tanai. And then as Bia, you do have, need a get, and Zaya Maaseh, and we even have a story, we're not able to have her disengaged from the marriage without a get. Now, Lafuki Mehaitana, all of this goes against this particular position. The Pasuk in the Parsha of Sota says that a Sota is a Sota only if the testimony is that she wasn't raped, she wasn't grabbed. So what's the implication? Asurat. Hanit pasa muteret. What do we infer from that? We saw this several times in our masachet, that if she is raped, then she's muteret. There's even one who is mutar to marry another man, even though she was not coerced in the first bia, and that's who? That's someone whose marriage was kiddushay ta'ut, and afterwards she had bia, and even afilu benak murkavak tefa, even if she has a kid who she's carrying around, nonetheless, she can get up and walk out, which means that Rabbi Shmuel holds that if you're Mekadesh deficiently, even though you have bia afterwards, and life together, and you have kids together, then the kiddushin can just be ignored, because there were no kiddushin. Good. Tana Rabbanan. We go back to our Mishnah, where a man was Mekadesh al Tanai, that she has no Nedarim, and it turns out she has Nedarim, but she goes to a Chacham who's Mater the Neder. Then Mekudeshet, the Kiddushin are good. Eitzel Rofei V'Ripeyotah, remember the second clause in our Mishnah, is if she had Mumim. So let's say she goes to a doctor who does some plastic surgery and fixes her Mum, Eina Mekudeshet, then it's not good Kiddushin. Ma Ben Chacham Rofei, so what's the difference between the two? Chacham okerat haneder mikaro, when there's hatarat nedarim, that means the neder never existed. Unlike hafarat nedarim, by the way, rofei eno merpei ela mikano lahaba, but clearly, if you have a bad condition and the doctor heals you, that means that you have the condition until now. He can't change the physicality retroactively. Good, so that means that at the time of the kiddushin, you really did have the mumim, and they are uprooted. And the kiddushin are uprooted. As opposed to nedarim, where if you get have a tarat nedarim, that means you never had that neder. Now, we have a braita that says that neither one of them works, which means we have a contradiction as to whether or not a hatarat neder saves the kiddushin. This is built upon the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. And we'll see what that's about in the context of a Mishnah in Gittin. We'll see in a moment. Hara Meir Damar Adam Rotseshit Bazeh Ishto Bevetin. Rabbi Meir seems to be of the opinion that a man does not mind if his wife has to go to Beit Din and deal with things, and even though it's a little bit disgraceful, he doesn't mind that, if it'll be beneficial for him or her or both of them. And the other Braita that says that even if she goes to a Chacham and is Matir, it's still no good, would be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a man does not want his wife to go to a Beit Din and be disgraced that way, meaning as follows. that when, according to Meir, when the guy gave her kiddushin amanat she'en alah nedarim, then and since he doesn't mind if she goes to the Beit Din and gets it fixed, that means that he had in mind either she has no nedarim, or if she does, she'll take care of him in a way that currently, retroactively, she had no nedarim. Rabbi Elazar, though, would say, since a man never would want his wife to have to go through the process of the Beit Din, therefore, when he says, it means you have none now, because if you have to go to the Beit Din to get them retroactively fixed, it's not anything I'm interested in either. Where does this Rameh Rabbi Elazar start, Mahi? That none. We have the Mishnah in Gittin. Tishto mishum neder, lo yachzir. If a man divorces his wife because she took a neder or she takes an adarim, he cannot marry her back. We'll see why. Mishum shemra lo yachzir. Parenthetically also, if it's because there was bad rumors about her, he also can't take her back. Now, Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol neder sheyadu bo rabim. Our focus is only going to be on nedarim here. Any neder that was known publicly, lo yachzir. He can't take her back. Right? Lo yadu bo rabim, but if the public did not know about this neder, then yachzir. He can take her back. He can marry her back. Right? In other words, if it's a neder, and the reason for that is that if it's a neder, sheyadu bo rabim, then there is no way to repudiate the neder. And as such, then when he's taking her back, effectively saying that that original get will be invalidated, because he'll be saying, oh, if I knew that I could do that, etc. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's a publicly known neder, one that can't be repudiated, then he can't take her back. Meir omer, and this is the part we care about, kol neder, we care about all of it, but this is for our issue, kol neder shetzarich chakirat chacham lo yachzir. Any neder that the husband cannot be made fair, like something that was after 24 hours, or something that is not about their relationship, that needs chakirat chacham, then lo yachzir. Sheino tzarich chakirat chacham yachzir. But if it's something that he could repudiate on his own, then yachzir. Now, what's the reason for that? He says as follows, that as of right now, we think that Rameir's reason is that we're concerned what it might lead to, because after all, if it's the kind of neder that the chacham could be matir, then Rameir says the husband's going to turn around and say, if I knew that the chacham could have matir, I never would have divorced you. And then it's going to lead to every divorce and of that sort being challenged, everything, so we say lo yachzir. But the point is that in Rameir's world, a man doesn't mind if his wife goes to the Beit Din, and therefore he would easily say, oh, if I knew you could go to the Beit Din and get that fixed, I never would have divorced you, and I'll call every divorce of that sort into question. All right, now, the end of it is, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo asru tzarich al mnei shenot tzarich, he turns it around, and he says the only reason that they said in a case of tzarich hari chakirat chacham, lo yachzir, is because of the real problem, which is enot tzarich chakirat chacham, the kind of neder that the husband himself could do. Now, my tavan Rabbi Yehuda, let's go back. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason for saying a publicly known neder is no good? Dichtiv, quote the pasuk in Yehoshua about the Givonim. V'lo ikum b'nei Yisrael kinishpu lem nesiyei ha'idah. In the parsha of the Givonim in Sefer Yehoshua, it says that even though the Givonim lied about who they were, and the b'nei, the heads of the tribes, took an oath that they would have mutual assistance, etc., that Bnei Yisrael couldn't kill them because they had taken an oath. And the notion was it was a public oath, and therefore he couldn't be repudiated in any way. Makama Rabim, so parenthetically, how much is Rabim? Rabbi Yehuda says Rabim, it has to be known by the Rabim. Yitzhak Amar Shlosha, he says three, based on the famous drasha that in the case of Shemret Yom Keneged Yom, he says Yomim Ishnaim, Yamim Rabim is always three, because Yamim always implies the minimum plural is two. Rabim adds one more to that, so the word Rabim means three. That's Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asara. He says no, Rabim is 10. Eidak Tibahu, because what does it say in the parsha of the Givonim? It says Nesiei HaEidah. And in Eidah, the whole sugi in Megillah and the third parak about Torah Shabbatusha, then Eidah is 10. Now, Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Neder Shetzarich Chakirat Chacham Lo Yachzir. The end of the Mishnah. Now, Mike Mipalgi, what's their machloket? So we say very simply, a man doesn't mean he doesn't mind if his wife would go to Beit Din, even though it would be degrading to her. Therefore, any neder that could be solved through a chakirat chacham, Rameir says the guy would be able to run and say, oh, I didn't know you could have done that. If I hadn't known that, I wouldn't have divorced you, and then we'll create that kilkul. And Allah is of the position that man would never have that in mind. He would never want such a thing. And therefore, that's not the calculus. So we say that now we roll back and say, oh, so when do we say that if a man was Mekadish woman, and she has a neder, but she goes to Chacham and is Matir, when is that valid, still valid Kiddushin? That is when, according to Rameir, who says a man would not mind that. But according to Rolozo, who said a man would mind that, means when he's Mekadish or Altanai, she ain't all nedarim, it means she doesn't have nedarim, and there's no solution for it, of course, because he would not imagine the possibility of her going to Beit Din and getting that fixed. Now that's the general consensus of how we understand the Mishnah. But Rava has a different take. He says, Hacha be'isha chashuva askinan. We're talking here about a woman from an important family. Damar lo nechali di'itza bikrovoteha. Simply what happens is, the guy says, I want this marriage dissolved, but I don't want it dissolved in a way that I'm going to be also to marry her sister or other relatives of hers. Therefore, my preference, of course, is for the Kiddushin to be uprooted. And therefore, he has in mind when he says, I'm not saying Aleich Nadarim, he really means that you don't have Nadarim now, and even if you go and fix it, that's still no good. But in a normal case, you would say that fixing it is good. So, Iyachi Seifa Diktani, so if that's the case, in the Seifa of that Breita that says that if she went to the Chacham and was Matar, etc., we said the opposite. Well, who shall Alach Yitzchak Chacham Mitiro is a favor peyoto, because if a man could be Mekadosh a woman and say, you know, he's Mekadosh a woman, and a woman says, I heard that you make no darim. He says, I'm Mekadosh a woman, not that I have no darim. Or I'm Mekadosh a woman, not that I have no movement. And it turns that he has it. That if he goes and gets either one of them fixed, he kudesh it. Then it's good. So, Litni Enema Kudesh it. Why don't we just say Enema Kudesh it? And why don't we posit the case is that this guy is an Adam Chashuv. That again, she will have the same intent. She'll say, I never intended for him to Mekadosh me, and then it's no good, but then he fixes it and it is good. I want to have a situation where if the Kiddushin are no good, they're uprooted, so I'm still available to marry other members of the family. The answer is, we're going to fall back on Rish Lakish's sociological statement that she would rather be married even to anyone rather than not be married. Kershlokish to Amar Shlokish, famous statement, Tav Lametav, Tandumi Lametav Armalu. It would be better to live two bodies together than to be alone. Abai Amar, and then we have this whole series that we had earlier in Yifamot, where it lists a few statements that people say, aphorisms about women who are married to low-class men, but still they have the covet of being a married woman. They still put her pillow up with the important woman of the town, or Papa Amar, Denafsa Gavra, even if her husband's a lowlife, Tikaria Besefa Bava Tetev, she still sits by the gates, she's a married woman. She'll never need lentils for a soup, in other words, she'll always be provided for. Married woman's an important woman. But then we had that very depressing position about this, is that nonetheless, all of them, in that case, they have affairs with other men, and when they have kids, they say it's from their husband. But still, they want to have the name of a married woman. All right, the last part of the Mishnah said, Kol mumin shepostim b'kohanim postim b'nashim. Good. And now, Tana, we said, Hosifu aleyan zeya v'shuma v'rea chapeh. He said that they added on to them mumim that do not exist in the case of Kohanim, but do exist by Nisha, which is Zeya, perspiration, and Shuma is a mole, and Reach HaPeh is bad breath. Vahani b'Kohani lo pasli, wait a second, don't these things invalidate a Kohen? Vatnan, we have in the Mishnah in Bechorot, Hazaken v'Choleva Mizuham. Now these really talk about Mume Behema, but then we apply them to Mume Kohen. One that's old, or one that's sick, or one that smells bad, or dirty. Utnan, in the next Mishnah, the beginning of the seventh parak in Bechorot, Mumin Elu Ben Kvuin Ben Ovrin. These Mumin, whether they're permanent or whether they're temporary, Psulin Badam, invalidate as far as a Kohen goes. With an animal, has the Mum Kavua. So that means that if a Kohen, even temporarily, is Mizuham, he's Pasal Avodah. So why do you say that that's a Mum of a woman that's not a Mum of a Kohen? He says, you know, there's such a thing as perspiration that can be wiped away, and there's also perspiration where a person has a condition where they're constantly perspiring. Ravashi says there's not really a contradiction. You're taking the word mizuham, which means dirty. That's not the same as perspiration. In the case of the Kohanim, if they're just perspiring, so that you can rub it away with some sort of a substance. Merecha penami, also bad breath. If shards are not good pilpel, abapume, they can put something in their mouth, a mint, a pilpel. V'avir avoda, perhaps pepper, but in contemporary terms we call it a mint, and do the avoda. In other words, the main difference is that kohanim need to be not stained by mum while they're doing the avoda. As a woman, it's a constant situation. The marriage is a 24/7 situation. Avagabe isha lo efshar. So hayshu mehechidam. We talked about a mole. What are we talking about? Eid to eat paseyar. If there's hair in the mole, hachavacha pasla. Then it's not something that's different, because in both cases it's pasul. Deloy paseyar. If there is no hair, yishuma gedolahi. If it's a big mole, and we'll see what the size is, hachavacha pasla. It's still pasul by kohanim. Yishuma ktanahi. If it's a small one, hachavacha lo pasla. It shouldn't bother anybody. The tanya shuma sheish paseyar. If you have a mole that has hair. Harezimum, it's a mum. Ein baseyar, if it doesn't. Gdola, harezimum. Tana, ein zimum. Very simple. Vezu gdola, what's the size? Pershim shigamli, aladki, isari talki, the size of an Italian coin, the isari talki. Yosef Elchanina, beomedet al parachta. So he says, you know, it's talking about a mum that's on her forehead. So that a mole that's on her forehead, even though it's small and has no seyar, it's in a particular place that really looks unpleasant. Parachta, Rav Nifayesu, what are you talking about? He already saw that before he married her and he accepted it. So, Papa, Bometet, Tachat Kipashal Roshat, somewhere right about where her hair is covered. Zimnin Dimitchaz, there's no Mitchaz, sometimes it's seen, sometimes it's not seen, he didn't really see it, he didn't know, and therefore in her case, even though it's Ktanan, in Basayar, it's still a mum. Amrachista Hamilta, Migava Rav Shmieli, I heard this from a great man, Umanu Rav Shila, what did he say? Nashcha kelev. Let's say a woman gets bit by a dog. Menasama kumot saleket, and the place gets all scarred. Raise a mum. That's a mum. Rechista kol avabi ishaf. Woman has a particularly harsh or deep voice. Raise a mum. Shneamar. And here we quote a pasuk. Kolech arev umarech nave. Right. Part of the beauty of a woman is her beautiful voice. Tani Rabbi Natan bira bein dadei isha tafach. That the space. Between Dade Isha, between the breasts, is a tefach. Now, what does that mean? Saracha bere derava, kame derava shilameimar, tefach lamalyuta. He thought it meant that's the size sign of beauty. Ravashi gave mumin tanin. You know, it's learned in the context of mumin. If there's, that's wide of a distance, that's called a mum. Vachama. Right, so what's the proper thing? Rabaya shalosh etzpaot, which is roughly half a tefach. Or three quarters of a tefach. Tana Rav Natan Omer, kol isha shadadea gasin mishel chaveroteha, harei ze mum. If there's a woman whose breasts are significantly larger than most of the other women, that's called a mum. V'chama amra maisha barbreid Rav Shuman Levi, shmeid Rav Shuman Levi, tefach, which is quite a bit. Mika ki ay gavne, such a thing? So in, we have a story. Amra Rav Chana, ani ra'iti aravia achat, I saw a Bedouin woman, shivshila dadea lachorea v'nikar bna. She threw her breasts over her back and nursed her kid. And clearly, it's a hyperbolic story. But the notion is that there's somebody with just huge breasts, and this is what's being talked about in the sugya. In any case, we end the sugya with a very beautiful agadah, which is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Pei Zayin. U'letzion ye'amer ish ve'ish yulad ba v'hu yechoneneha elyon. The pasuk itself is somewhat opaque, but the drush is beautiful. I'm a Maisha bar Braid Rav Shuban Levi, and that's why it's here, because the same transmission order. Echad hanolad ba v'chad hametzapel lirota. What is a ish v'ish yulad ba? Whether it's somebody who was born there or somebody who anticipates being there, Yerushalayim. In other words, even if you weren't born in Yerushalayim, but you yearn for Yerushalayim, that's also great. Amar Abaye v'chad minayu adif ketre minan. And Abaye in Babel said, and one of them is as good as two of us. In other words, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, they're sharper, etc. Amar Rava v'chad minan ki salik lahatam adiv kitre minayu. But then Rava said, but if one of us makes aliyah, we're as good as two of them. How do we know that? Rav Yirmiyah dechi havehach. Rav Yirmiyah, famous Rav Yirmiyah, who was a student of Rabbi Yochanan when he was here, lo haveyad damai kamerabon, and he couldn't follow what was going on. Ki salik lahatam, when he made aliyah, karilan bavloi tivshah, he used to call us the foolish Babylonians. In other words, it had made such a dramatic change in him, whereas before he was not equal even to a half of an Eretz Yisrael Dekker, now he was as good as any two of them. Okay, we've completed the sugya to the Mishnah Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, and we'll pick up in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.